Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time.
Well, parents, I decided to come back for a second hour of Parents Coaching Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. We were talking about the NCAA's new reform, but we had a caller that called in, a good friend of mine, an old classmate, that called in, and we had some great dialogue going on, so I figured we'd add on for another half hour and continue this conversation. Looks like we got a caller on the line already, so that's a good thing. Let's see what this caller's talking about here. Good afternoon. Call you on the air with the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Who's speaking?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? This is Maxie.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I was calling in reference to your caller's comment about coaches educating the students. However, it is the student's responsibility to get the education. Now, if proper preparation was made in middle school and high school, which is the parents' responsibility to prepare their child for a life after sports, it is not the coach's responsibility. Yes, they can talk to them. They can provide the personnel to assist them as far as the tutoring and academic advisement. But if the student himself does not take advantage of that, what can the coaches do? So,
okay, Max, hold that thought. I got to call it back on there. We're going to go three-way here.
Okay.
Rob, you back on with us?
I'm on, Mike.
Oh, okay. Did you hear Max's comment?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I wasn't referring to the coaches educating the children. The coaches collaborating with parents, and the parents ultimately it's the parents' responsibility is what I mentioned there, and you know I agree that the parents should be responsible for you know raising those kids and you know putting them opportunities in front of their children that are on the academic side. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of parents out here that are young parents, and they don't have much education themselves, and they need guidance, and that's why I think they should be with programs that can not only provide you know summer recreation, but also have a collaboration with maybe an organization that has an educational component that can you know, give these kids some guidance. Because, I mean, face it, a lot of these coaches in the summertime working with these kids do not have a lot of education themselves. You know, so it's a situation where the responsibility, ultimate responsibility, does come down to the parent. But too many kids in large numbers are being taken advantage of in this situation, and far too many of them are not graduating and not even getting past their first year, you know, once they get into
Rob, hold that thought for a second, because, you know, what I like to do here, and I'm glad that both of you gentlemen had the opportunity to call in at the same time, but I like to let our listening audience know a little bit about who's on the line with them this afternoon and who's providing this information. So, Rob, if you go first and then follow up, Maxie, and then we can keep on rolling.
Sure.
Give us a little insight.
Excuse me?
Give us a little insight on who you are and what you got going on, Rob.
Okay. I'm Robert Vaughn, and I work with a AAU program. I assist with an AAU program. You know, by profession, you know, I'm a computer science person and very strong in academics. And one of the things that I do is I work for foundations that provide scholarships, you know, for students on the academic side. And that's pretty much my background.
Okay. You didn't mention anything about your enrichment program, but I'll let you off the hook on that.
Sure.
Go ahead, Max.
Yes, my name is Max E. Lee. I am a former academic counselor and lecturer at the university in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I have also worked with student athletes at another D1 school in High Point, North Carolina. Although they were not ACC schools on that level, you're still looking at the same guidelines that must be adhered to by all schools. I currently have an academic curriculum called Listen, Learn, and Lead, which I promote the motivational successes of career, character, and academic development for our young men. I have also coordinated a male retention program at a university in North Carolina. So I've done a little work on both sides there, and I understand what you're saying, Robert, and I commend you for the work that you're doing. And I just feel like, although your comment about the parents do not have the guidance, I was in North Carolina this past weekend, and I observed a high school football game, and I noticed the parents who were cheering their sons on and so forth and so on. And then after the game, I asked one of my friends who was the coach, okay, how many of those parents do we see in PTA meetings? None.
Mm-hmm.
None. So the involvement of the parents, we're going to have to promote more academic involvement with our kids. Yes, our kids are being pimped by some schools, by a lot of schools in reality, because I would have to agree with, say, Dr. Hawkins down at the University of Georgia that the NCAA, as far as Division I in basketball and football, is the new plantation for our kids. I mean, you're getting urban kids, you're getting black athletes, and you're using them for their athletic abilities. However, in return, the school does provide an opportunity for that student to get an education. However, if that student does not take advantage of that,
you know, Max, I think you brought up a good point when you was talking to Coach Jackson about the PTA meeting, and I think that's where Rob was talking about having programs that would educate the parents. You know, such as the Parents Coaching Parent Network, Sports Parents, Ultimate Sports Parents program that's out there floating around somewhere, MOCA, Mothers, now they've done changed it to Parents of College Athletes. You know, there's a number of other programs that's out there that focuses solely on just educating the parents and bringing the parents up to speed on the process and how to deal with coaches and how to deal with your high school coaching, your college coaching, how to help your child make that transition from high school to college and be successful at it. And at the same time, is the more that the parents learn, you know, and I think we all in agreement with that part, the more that the parents learn, the better off the child it will be later on down the line.
Oh, I agree, but, you know, you're preaching to the choir. The parents that we need to get out, they're the ones who don't come.
Well, that's why I do a program like this here and, you know, try to do other things in the community. And every time, you know me as well as Rob,
mm-hmm.
every time I have an opportunity to sit down and talk to a group of parents, I'm talking about something related to their child and how their child can be successful at the next level. You know, whether or not it's just going to school and being an athlete, which is the hardest thing they could probably try to do, or just go to school and be a successful student. And then later on, move on from there.
I think your point is a very valid point, and it has to be, and it has to be a lot more of, of parent coaching, parenting, mentoring towards parents, because there's a gap there where parents don't really understand the impact of them showing up, say, to a PTA meeting. And they really don't, and I'm not saying all parents, because there's a lot of parents, there are a lot of parents that do, you know, because I'm one of them that do, and I see a lot more, but there's not enough, you know. So,
correct.
So there needs to be, you know, more guidance, and, you know, the kind of things that's coming out of this parent coaching parents network is a model that should be enhanced in some way to bring more parents into that fold, you know, not only saying, you know, bridging the gap between that whole athletic component, but more importantly, bridging that gap between that whole academic component, and somehow bringing that happy medium together, where these students are going to have a rich experience in terms of athletics and academics. And
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Robert.
If you can put those two components together, the kid is going to be a leader.
Because sports is only for a season. That's only a season. You know, you have your entire life, and you could have a career that ends in injury. Okay, your playing days are over. But if your focus was the student part of student athlete, we will have more young men who are graduating and who are mentoring those who are coming behind them on the ins and outs of college athletics and academics.
That's definitely true. And you know, I think one of the biggest things that we are faced with there, gentlemen, is getting these young men, not as much for the young ladies, but getting these young men to see beyond the next day, to see a year out, to see 5 years out, to see 10 years out. I think once we can get that point across and get them to have a vision, a sense of direction, I think we're going to be doing something powerful and be able to put these kids on the right track to move forward. I want to change the subject a little bit, and I know both of you are very high on this area as well, because we've been talking about academics for the last few minutes or so. What do you think about the raising of the academic progress rate? Basically, the academic progress rate, they had to cut off at 900. And I think now they're trying to raise it up to 930. But, you know, with this new reform that just came out and the report that the Associated Press put out last week, if that was the case and they go back and look over the last couple of years, then a number of these schools that was in these big-time championship games last season, and especially the University of Connecticut, would not have made it because their scores was under 900.
Now, I have a question. Now, is that considered in three subjects on the SAT, or is that just two subjects?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the SATs. The academic progress report, which is currently at 925, they're going to do some leniency to 900, as you just stated, Michael, as they transition to the new APR rate of 930. Yeah, what that is you have several factors in there. So if a kid left a program and transferred, that would hurt a school's academic progress report. So you're looking at the number of student athletes who are making proficient progress towards a academic major and that the school is graduating. So the APR rate, academic progress rate, is put in to increase the graduation rates of student athletes. Now, if a student athlete is graduating and the only thing he majored in was eligibility, that counts favorable for the school. But it's still a black eye to that student who has finished his college career, has no pro prospects, unless he plays maybe a year or two of European ball, and then there you are limited because you can have only so many foreign players on each European team, talking about basketball.
Yeah.
So you have academic advisors and counselors at these various schools, your top-tier schools, your ACCs, SECs, Pac-8s, Big 12 conferences and so forth. They have the budgets where they can afford to hire more tutors and more academic counselors. But whereas your smaller schools, for example, your HBCUs, they may have one or two people on staff to service their student-athletes. And they do not have the tutor brigade that some of your larger schools will have.
But I think that all goes back to the whole, you know, the whole component of coaching parents from a whole academic perspective, because I mean, what happens here? I mean, basically, what we're talking about here, I think standards should be high. Okay, that's me personally, because we should expect more from our kids. Okay, and then we need to, you know, discover ways to get the kids into the process in a meaningful way that's going to develop them, develop them with life skills and professional skills. Because I think that these kids are, first of all, most of them are very smart. It's just that they lack in the skill development areas, and. I think schools should be held to a higher standard in terms of, you know, providing these kids with the tools that they need in order to get a real education. And I think parents need to also be held responsible as well, you know, of readying their kids to attend these institutions. If these institutions want to get these kids to play for their teams, I think that they need to bear that responsibility of educating those kids. You know, particularly if they're going to be more lenient on their athletes to attend their universities, and with scores that a average person off the street or from any high school would not be able to get into their institutions with, then they need to accommodate these kids that they're accepting into their universities below standard, and bring them in some way up to speed. I think it's their responsibility to do that, knowing that these kids are not academically prepared, you know, for the rigor that these
mm-hmm.
universities
mm-hmm.
provide.
Rob. And, you know, that's why I try to provide as much assistance as possible, and, you know, I encourage others to do the same. And, you know, when I say Parents Coaching Parents Network, you know, we're out here with the intent on just sharing information with other parents that have been through the process, helping them have a better understanding of the process. That way they're able to help and support their children. And it's not something that's it's time-consuming, because the process in itself is time-consuming. But it's not something that's complex to the point of the average parent with less than a high school education level can understand what we're talking about and how we're breaking it down to make it simple as possible, all the way up to a parent with a PhD can dig in there and realize that, okay, I got my child on track. Now I'm going to share some of this other information with some other parents out there. You know, looking at this Associated Press note that came out last week, article that came out last week, it talked about some of the other penalties that some of these schools may have to suffer in the event that they do not make this 930 APR. You know, some of the things that they talk about, coaches can possibly get suspended. I'm interested to see that. Practice time, game time limit, scholarship reduction, and last but not least, their actual membership in the NCAA. You know, their membership will be in question. If you looked at the University of Connecticut, UConn, you know, last year NCAA champions. The boys came out and they was on fire. Worst part about it, I think they went into that tournament with an APR of about 826, I think that's as it was reported. And now they're projecting, yeah, our APR next year is going to be at 975. You're going to jump from an 826 to a 975. Max, break that down for me and help me get a better understanding of what they're talking about there.
Well, what they're talking about, you've had quite a few schools, as you said, who, if the current system was in place, the 930, they would not be eligible to participate in postseason activities, championship games for football, the NCAA tournament. And it's just bringing to light that you have schools who are basically pimping our kids, but you also have kids who are not taking advantage of the opportunities that they have. Although the academic rigors, a lot of them may not be qualified for, but they are admitted to these schools, as most schools have a special admission called special talent. And that is how a lot of our kids are able to get into these schools who otherwise, if they did not have the athletic talent, they would be denied admission to these universities. Now, once the kid is in there, if they look past the football field and the basketball court as far as getting to the quote-unquote next level, they can take advantage of the academics that are provided to them. You have plenty of tutors on board to assist. It's just a matter of the kids taking advantage of it. Get to know your instructors. Sit up front in the classroom. Stop sitting in the back. You're not at church. They're not going to ask you for no money. Sit up front. And that's one thing, that problem that we have at your predominantly white institutions. Let's face it, a lot of our kids are not comfortable in an integrated environment when you look at the backgrounds from where they come from. But there are, most schools do have various types of peer mentoring, and if the athlete, usually studies have shown if student athletes are involved in other aspects of the institutions, say for instance get involved in a organization, they are going to feel more like they are a part of that school and not just a jock who's attending there. Some of our kids go to school with the mindset, okay, I'm only going to play 1 year and then I'm going pro. I personally, I don't have a problem with that, because you do it for tennis, you do it for baseball, kids can come out of high school and turn professional.
Let me jump in here real quick, Mike. I think we're... One of the problems that I've noticed a lot of the parents have expressed, you know, here in the network, you know, most of these kids are going in here. I wouldn't say most of these kids. I would say a small percentage. Let me correct that. Small percentage of these kids are going in here starting college with right at a 2.0 grade point average. 2.0, last time I checked, was right about at a C. You know, the NCAA has now said, okay, we're going to require you to have it at a minimum 2.3 in your 16 core classes. 2.3, that just takes it up to maybe, what, a C+. And they're looking at any junior college transfers, they're requiring them to have a 2.5 GPA in order to do what they need to do to continue on if they decide to transfer into a D1 school. But, you know, if you're looking at a young man or lady that only has a 2.0, a C grade point average, if you want to look at it from the standpoint of grades, letter grades, you know, a C is not really helping that child out after 1 year of college and they're moving on. And they, again, like we talked about earlier in the show, they're required to look at a contract, read a contract, understand the contract, and make sure that someone's not ripping them off in the long run. you know, I know Rob has a lot of insight on this because we've had this conversation one time before. Would you add something to that, Rob?
Well, sure. I think in this particular case, I think our kids are losing. They're just losing, okay? Because for one, the standards are too low, okay? At a 2.3, you know, first of all, no one's going to hire you, okay? Secondly, you're not going to be able, even if you get a professional contract, you're not going to be able to, you know, read that contract and understand it at a level where you can, you know, benefit, maximize the benefits from that contract or renegotiate or you know, anything during those lines. So you know, it would behoove everyone, you know, to ready that student, you know, from a parent perspective, from a student perspective. And if the NCAA was really serious, you know, to require those students to do specific things in all the institutions across the board to develop those areas of weakness, which they should know how to write well and read well, you know, because, you know, if you're going to be a professional, and face it, 70% of our professional athletes are broke once they leave the game. Now, that
more
has,
than that.
Well, you know,
exactly.
Last time I checked, but if it's more than that, then that's even worse. But, you know,
yes, it is.
To my point, you know, these guys are, even though they're becoming professional athletes, you know, because they're not being ready, okay, academically, you know, they're failing. You know, they're failing not only in school, but they're failing in life. And
I'm gonna have to cut you right there, Rob, and not to say I'm just totally cutting off your conversation,
sure,
but we're winding down on time, and I'd like to get a little not insight, but how can we reach both of you gentlemen? You know, if somebody has some additional questions or want to check out some information that you're posting, either on your sites or, you know, on your website. I know you have a website, Rob, or a couple different websites, and I know Max is posting information on the record. So start with you, Max, and give us our contact information.
You can reach me on Facebook at Listen, Learn, and Lead, or you can contact me at info@listenlearn-lead.com.
Okay, and you, Rob?
I have resources on enrichmentfunds.com, you know, where I'm providing, you know, scholarships and opportunities for internships in summer enrichment programs and, you know, that sort of thing, you know, to give kids a, you know, kind of edge. That's my biggest channel in terms of contributing. You know, someone who wanted to reach me, they can reach me through email at iqbsllc.com. That's rob@iqbsllc.com is my email address. Or they can follow me on Facebook at enrichmentfunds.com.
What about the event site? Is it still up?
Excuse me? Oh, sporty. Also, the asportevent.com is a site where, you know, you can list any educational events that you're having regards to sports, whether it's learning or whether it's, you know, having a tournament or any event that you know relates to developing that athlete athletically and academically.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I thank you this afternoon for coming on. This was a total surprise to me. Initially, I was going to go through and talk about the reform piece that the NCAA has recently came up with, but I had two wonderful callers calling in this afternoon. And anybody, if you want to reach out to these gentlemen and you didn't get that information, get a chance to write it down, you can always reach out to us at the Parents Coach Parent Network. You can follow us on Twitter at PCP Network. At PCP Network. You can follow us on Twitter, or you can check out our Facebook page at Parent Coach and Parent Network as well. As always, we'll be back here again next Wednesday, and we'll have some more insight and information for you parents and for those student athletes that enjoy the thing. Okay, do what you do there, kids. Enjoy yourself. And we always say, have fun at the end. Keith, take us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and when the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
All right, that's been my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. I always let him close out on the Parent Coach Parent Network. Folks, have a wonderful day. This has been your host, M.H. Scott.